gentlemen, and children of all ages, welcome to the most extravagant extravaganza.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
You nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everybody, to the Weekend Sports Report. We talk about pro college baseball, football, basketball, and even later in the program, the Pan Am Games going on in Toronto throughout the Great Lakes region. That's what we cover. And Packer Dave here, Steve Leventhal there. Steve, how are you?
Oh, no worse than usual.
All right, and we're going to start this show. Last week, we talked about the Bears. We got the NFL season coming up here real quick. Hall of Fame game just around the corner, and that's the kickoff for the NFL preseason, at least. And we got about a month of preseason, then a week, and then football starts middle of September. Yes.
You ever been to Canton, Ohio?
I have not. No, and that's a place I want to go. You have?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought he was going to say, "Oh yes, and it's a great place, and you should go." No, of course.
Ironic. The only baseball I haven't been to any of the Hall of Fames, actually. Baseball, basketball. Well, that's in Springfield, Mass. None of them are around here. Although I think the College Football Hall of Fame is in South Bend, but I haven't been to that one either.
All right. Well, some interesting developments in Green Bay. Jermaine Gresham, the tight end from Cincinnati, who's looking for a new team. 27 years old, 56 catches over his seasons. That's his average with the Bengals. You know, that's a good tight end, and the Packers are slim at that position. Andrew Corliss having legal issues down in Florida after firing a gun in the air 5-something in the morning.
Professional athlete legal issues. What a shock.
Well, five in the morning? What are you doing out at 5 in the morning shooting guns? That's crazy. Not Packer-like. So there may be some discipline issues there. And Richard Rodgers, who played well as a rookie, but that's their weak point on offense. You look at the Packers. You've got Pro Bowlers everywhere. Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Eddie Lacy in the backfield. Randall Cobb. Jordy Nelson. So, you know, you've got the players in place to make this Super Bowl run. The Packers are looking to win Super Bowl 50. This is a big year.
50.
They won Super Bowl 1 and 2, and then a couple more after that. If they could win Super Bowl 50, it would be great.
And so they'd still be behind the Steelers.
Only by one. That's not that much. So, you know, we'll see what happens here.
Ironically,
they are odds-on favorite to go all the way, though.
Ironically, it's been rather quiet in Chicago. Nobody seems to have been made the police blotter lately. So I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, the Bears, they've got a lot of transition. The Packers, they are in place to do it. And in the draft, you know, they picked two defensive backs in the first two rounds. So Tremont Williams is gone. We're going to have some new people back there. There'll be a lot happening in Green Bay. And look for the Packers to win the NFC North and go all the way to the Super Bowl. Should have gone last year after the debacle in Seattle. Seattle goes. But then Seattle had its own debacle in the Super Bowl. That was really good to see. So a lot coming around for Green Bay.
That's great. And how many days, hours, and minutes to kickoff? I'm surprised it's not a clock behind you.
I don't know exactly. Okay. I don't know exactly, but it's right around the corner. So we talked about the Bears last week, a little bit about the Packers this week, and next week we'll probably look at the Lions. We cover teams in the Great Lakes area, of course. Detroit looking to improve on their playoff season from last year. So got a couple good teams in the NFC North, the Packers, the Lions. Vikings seem to be coming up. The Bears, I don't know, but Green Bay, obviously still the class of the division there. All right, Steve, now college football just around the corner. Absolutely. And media day coming up, right?
Well, the SEC and the ACC have their media kickoffs this week. Next week is going to be the Big Ten, so we're going to be sending Sam the intern down there to get some stuff on Northwestern and Illinois, and perhaps even Ohio State and Michigan. New coach Jim Harbaugh, whom you're very familiar with, is the new coach of Michigan.
Sure, sure.
So the expectations are going to be pretty high in Ann Arbor.
Okay, Sam, the intern, where are your paid employees going to be going while Sam is covering that event? Where are the paid guys going?
The pool, the beach, the bar, La Cantina.
He's looking to locate one.
Tequila 30.
This company. He's got 12 interns, not one paid guy. It's amazing. So that should be good. And what about the prospects this year for the Chicago area teams like Northwestern?
Well, they're probably not going to be great, you know, and hopefully we can get on a college football expert and ask the questions that I kind of want to ask, which is Pat Fitzgerald. You know, he's a legacy at Northwestern. He just, you know, in some ways, I think he's recruiting with one hand tied behind his back. Sometimes he's coaching with a hand tied behind his back because they have to recruit a certain caliber of players who can meet the Northwestern's far more stringent academic standards. You know, it's kind of like Vanderbilt in the SEC, but yet it's been proven because Duke somehow, the dreaded Duke Blue Devils, have figured out a way to win in the ACC, and Stanford has figured
basketball.
Out a way
That's
to win.
Basketball,
oh, no.
Right?
Duke has had a winning record the last couple of years. They somehow put it together.
Yeah. Well, I think what happens in a lot of those cases is you might have a couple good years amongst a lot of bad years. It's hard to, you're right. Northwestern, that's a hard school to get into.
Yeah, so, and there's a little bit of a controversy going down at University of Illinois where a player alleged some physical and verbal abuse at the hands of a coach. And, of course, in this day and age of Twitter and social media, it rapidly went viral. So now there's a couple of big alums that are sort of calling for the athletic director to take some action or be subject to action himself. So it's not without controversy. And your Wisconsin Badgers are going to take a step into the big end of the kiddie pool, and they're going to open their season down at Texas in the in the Evil Dome against Alabama.
Yeah, well, the Badgers have been a good college football program the last 20-some years after a long drought there. The 70s and 80s weren't all that great in Wisconsin.
And you know who gets a lot of the credit for that?
Barry Alvarez does.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Okay.
So you do know something about college football.
A little bit. And Russell Wilson played 1 year for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah, do you know where he transferred from?
Another school.
Do you know which one?
It was down south somewhere.
North Carolina State.
Right. See? I was close. I was thinking, what
actually,
are the Carolinas? Yeah.
Ironically, you know who recruited him at North Carolina State?
Who?
Mark Tressman. Believe it or not.
That is interesting.
I found that on Tressman's bio at one point. That's an obscure factoid.
Okay. Well, we got a lot coming up on the radio show today, the Weekend Sports Report. We'll be talking with Jeff Rich. We'll look at the AL Central and more in baseball with Jeff Rich. And then we'll have John Poulter, our professor of sports from Toronto. He's been attending the Pan Am Games there. We'll learn a bit about the Pan Am Games. So stick around for that. Back after this on the Weekend Sports Report.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense, but the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
The dog days of summer doesn't necessarily mean it's a good time to be a dog. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll tell you how to help your pets keep their cool right after this.
Siding that captures the look and feel of natural wood and is easy to maintain, you can have both with Royal Estate Siding. Living with Royal Estate means never having to trade sag resistance and low maintenance for timeless exterior design and curb appeal. Its partial rollover hem provides exceptional wind load resistance, and it comes in a wide range of UV-resistant colors that match virtually any home. Wood grain presence and effortless endurance come together in the same siding. Learn more about Royal Estate Siding at royalbuildingproducts.com.
You hear all kinds of health warnings for people during times of high temperature and humidity, but these conditions can be just as dangerous for the pets in our life. Pets that are very young or very old, short-nosed dogs, and pets with heavier coats will need some extra attention. When you walk your dog, early mornings are the best. They stay outside, always keep their water bowl refreshed. Adding a little ice in the water to melt is also a great idea. Make sure they have a shady spot to rest in during the day, and of course, never leave a pet in a parked car, even with the windows rolled down. If you notice your pet is panting excessively or has difficulty breathing, get it in the shade or air conditioning immediately to cool them down, and consult your vet as soon as possible. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Hey, Packer Dave. This is Bob Costas. You know, it's one thing to root for the Packers. It's one thing to relive the glory of the Ice Bowl and the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. It's quite another to have your entire life narrated by John Facenda. Quite another to live by every precept set down by Vince Lombardi when you're just a guy wearing a cheesehead hat and sitting behind a microphone. You're not Bob Skoronski. You're not Fuzzy Thurston. You're not even Chuck Mersine. Packer Dave, get a life. Please.
I have a cheesehead hat, but I'm not wearing it right now. It's the Weekend Sports Report, Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal. Now we bring in Jeff Rich. You can hear him on the Sports Byline USA radio network on Sunday mornings from 11 to 1 Eastern Time. That's 8 to 10 Pacific Time at sportsbyline.com. We're going to talk a bit about the AL Central and the NL Central on this segment. Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's a heck of a weekend. It's dog days of summer are certainly here.
Okay, well, Jeff stations himself in Arizona now at this part of his life, but he's originally from the Cleveland area. And as we do, we talk about the cities around the Great Lakes, and that's about what this show is about. And so let's start with the Indians. In their last 10, they're at 500, 5-5. So just a bit on the Indians this week, and we'll move on to some of the other teams that are actually relevant.
That's
Ouch.
Funny. That's funny. You know, and I have to agree with that take. You know, fourth place in the American League Central, a couple games under 500. Yeah, just can't seem to get over the hump. Well, you know, real similar to the team that I have here in my backyard, the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're just they're a below average team, but the difference with the Indians is they have lights out starting pitching, and they have about two offensive weapons. Michael Bourne and Nick Swisher, who they signed before the 2013 season, are just dead weight. The kids are calling up, look promising. Francisco Lindor and Giovanni Urshela on the left side of the infield are promising both defensively and offensively. But there's just no pop in that lineup, so they're going to lose a lot of games 3-2 or even 4-0, 1-0. And it's a shame because Kluber, Bauer, Carrasco, Salazar, and the kid Cody Anderson, they've all been lights out as starters. Bullpen's a little shaky, but when you don't score runs in Major League Baseball, you're just not going to win in the year 2015.
All right, and the Tigers kind of taken a dive recently. What's going on there?
I think they're becoming sellers. I think that the window is just closed on them. Playing without Miguel Cabrera is obviously a huge hindrance, but they just haven't. They didn't find the formula. They didn't find it exactly with Jim Leland. And what I'm hearing is Brad Ausmus may be on the hot seat after two seasons in Detroit. This is a team that came in with high expectations and has for the last 3 to 5 years, and just hasn't been able to get it done. When the starting pitching is on, the bullpen's off. When the offense is on, the starting pitching takes a little bit of a dive. And they're just kind of a star-crossed team. They find themselves at or under 500 at the midpoint in the season, and it's kind of sad considering all the money the Ilitch family has spent on these Detroit Tigers.
Okay, Jeff Rich with us, and you can hear him on the Sports Byline Network. How is that show going on Sports Byline, by the way? I haven't listened the last couple weeks, but how are my pals Fred and Andy over there, and how's the show going?
You missed it. It's become pretty heated. You know, we've gotten not outside of the realm of sports, but there are just topics that are relevant to our culture that we've gotten into. And, you know, we've been doing it with John Poulter's been on assignment for us down at the Pan Am Games. So we've been going straight through, you know, just this is a tough time for talk radio. You know, football is low hanging fruit. The NBA draft was low hanging fruit. But you get to this point where all of the winter sports are kind of really in their off season. Football hasn't started yet. And you have to rely on baseball to entertain you. And it's just, you know, in a 162 game season, hot topics are few and far between.
Hey, I co-host this with Steve. It's always a tough time for me in talk radio.
Ha, 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 ha. Okay. Oh, he's just counting down the hours and minutes until kickoff for the NFL. Dun, yeah,
we're getting to the NFL part of the season soon, Jeff, so all of this will change. But it's all right. We're talking baseball. We'll actually talk with John about the Pan Am Games in our next segment here on the show. But and Arizona has got to be boiling hot this time of the year. Love it in the winter, tough time in the summer. What, about 110 or so this weekend?
Oh, it sure felt like, you know, I was out weed whacking this morning. So it was, you know, I was certainly feeling it. You know, it's about 85, 90 degrees, you know, in the early morning hours. It gets to 105, 110. You know, 115 is kind of peculiar even for us. I mean, you know, 110, 112, but you know, once you hit the, you know, the 110s, you know, every degree on the mercury, you can feel it.
It is rather warm out there. I recall being out in Arizona in August, 1 year, went to a Diamondbacks game, walking out of the stadium. It's 11:30 at night. And it's 87 stinking degrees.
Oh, that's nothing. That's cool. So don't complain about that. By the way, Steve, he was weed whacking this morning. Were you whacking anything this morning, by any chance?
Whipping up some coffee for the missus.
Okay, whacking. Oh, okay.
Coffee grinding.
All right, now let's move on to the NL Central and the Chicago Cubs. Of course, we talked a lot about them and the Milwaukee Brewers. Milwaukee doing all right recently, but, you know, their season pretty much is over. They're not going to come back and make a playoff push. So let's start with Milwaukee, then we'll talk about the Cubs. Where do the Brewers go from here? Do they just continue to build with who they have? Or, you know, what do you think their prospects are for next year? Because obviously this year, you know, too many losses early.
Well, you expect Craig Counsell to right the ship at some point. That front office has got to, you know, has got to get him some weapons. And we're going to really see how the Brewers have drafted lately. You know, in the early 2000s, it showed, and you know, they had a couple of playoff runs in them. And, you know, the most notably in 2011. But you know, these young guys got to pan out, and Milwaukee, you know, operates on a similar model as the Cleveland Indians do. They're very into analytics. They're very into drafting, not for a splash, but for finesse, to try to fill a value need in their minor league system. And, you know, we're seeing that it hasn't panned out now that, you know, these guys are hitting their free agent years and they got to spend some money. And it's tough. This is the life of a small to mid-market ball club.
Okay, and about the Cubs right now, you know, they're 5-5 in their last 10 games, so they have any chance in this whole thing, do you think? It looks like they do for a wild card anyway.
Well, wild card spot, but now the Mets are also hot on their heels.
I think the Cubs are an interesting case. They, you know, they look like they need just one or two more pieces to get over the hump, but you have to wonder if it would even be enough, and it's certainly not mortgaging their future. You talk to a lot of Cubs fans, they're happy with where they're at. They understand that, you know, it might not happen for them in 2015, but you know, as the trade deadline approaches, I think a lot of people on the north side are looking at this team and really hoping that Theo and Jed stay put, you know, let this thing ride out. You know, they don't need to rent a player. They don't need to chase anything. They just need to continue to develop. I mean, this is a team that's built around young players like Bryant and Soler and Addison Russell. Kyle Schwarber certainly has appeared to be no slouch over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, a lot of young talent there, you know, a lot of big money free agents there. You know, it's kind of funny that they're stuck with Miguel Montero considering the way that Schwarber's coming up. But, you know, the way that things are, the way things need to stay in with the Chicago Cubs, and I would expect Joe Maddon to influence that heavily, and I would expect the 2016 team to look very similar to what we're seeing right now at the midpoint of 2015.
All right, Jeff. Whose phone was that, by the way, ringing? Didn't we talk about this? No phones. Was it you, Steve?
My phone hasn't rung.
How about you, Jeff?
Dave, how old are you? Are you getting senile? Are you hearing things?
Yeah. What phone?
All right. It was my phone. I'm sorry. I've turned it off. I'm just in high demand. You know. Okay. Now let's move to the NBA supplemental draft, Steve.
No, the free agent period is almost done. A lot of action has taken place. A lot of movement. Probably one of the biggest ones, right, was Jordan and the Clippers and the Mavericks. He kind of jilted Mark Cuban and re-signed with the Clippers. It was a bit of a controversy, wouldn't you say, Jeff?
Oh, I would say it definitely was a controversy, and it's the collateral damage to that moratorium period where you could agree to terms that you can't sign a deal. And it, frankly, it gives Steve Ballmer and the Los Angeles Clippers the opportunity to go to Houston and take DeAndre Jordan hostage and, you know, hold him until midnight and make sure he signs that contract. I understand why Mark Cuban's upset, but I also understand that DeAndre Jordan ultimately chose the better situation. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that the news hits certain points where it gets reported, but it's not necessarily, cast in stone, and it certainly wasn't with DeAndre Jordan. And he had every right, and I think Mark Cuban had every right to be upset about the situation.
Okay, any further on that, Steve, or are you with us?
Dwayne Wade re-signed with the Heat. They picked up a couple of players. They're trying to get back in the mix.
Okay. I think the Heat are an interesting case. You had Mari down there, and I thought that Miami might be okay with just Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade going forward, but last year was kind of a disaster for Eric Spoelstra and company. It's going to be interesting to see what they could do with only two superstars.
Need a lot of guns in the NBA.
Oh, and Shumpert signed a long-term deal with the Cavs. LeBron obviously wants to make another run at it. They probably are going to be the team to beat in the East.
Yeah, you know what? It was we went into free agency believing that it was Shumpert or Tristan Thompson. They're still working with Tristan Thompson. But, the goal in Cleveland for David Griffin, for LeBron James, for Dan Gilbert was just to get the band back together. And, by re-signing Mozgov, I know that they're going to try for J.R. Smith. I know that they're working on Tristan Thompson. And truth be told, Tristan Thompson doesn't want to play without LeBron James. So I expect that to get done. It's just not going to be as easy as, hey, you want to be here, sign on the dotted line. This is a business. This is Tristan Thompson's big opportunity to sign a big contract.
And the Bulls' probably biggest signing or reacquisition, they signed Jimmy Butler to a long-term deal, so they're trying to make sure that, the Butler and Rose can get along in the backcourt and basically make the Bulls, a contender as opposed to a pretender.
Yeah, that's a big deal. You wonder what kind of role that Jimmy Butler's going to have in Fred Hoiberg's offense. They're going to go from being a defensive-minded team to a defensive-minded team with some offensive thought. So, Derek Rose has got to put up or shut up. They've played very well without him. They've played pretty well with him. He's just got to prove there's a difference between him being on the floor and him not being on the floor.
Well, in last season, they were kind of like the walking wounded. They never seemed to have a full complement of their best players out between injuries, to Noah, injuries to Gibson, and even Gasol at one point or another. They just could never seem to gel and be cohesive as a unit. So if they can stay healthy, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think it does make a big difference. I think that they're right there with Milwaukee in the East is, one of those teams that's got you can throw Washington in that mix too. Teams in the East that have their sights set on Cleveland, but Cleveland's just a tough cookie to crumble given the personnel that they have at this point in time.
Yeah, Dave should be pretty excited. Your Bucks are definitely making leaps and bounds forward with the players. They had Parker was hurt, so when he comes back, that's a whole different dimension.
We'll see. Milwaukee needs to win a playoff series sometime. It would be nice to see. Been a long time.
The biggest issue they're having there is with the stadium and people wanting to take the team out of town, not being able to get a stadium deal. That's the biggest thing there. We used to get Doug Russell on the horn to talk about that stuff.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, I was going to ask you a completely off-subject topic, something completely off the cuff here, but what do you think of your mascot there, Bango, in up there in Milwaukee? He seems like quite the athletic mascot. I was watching the Hulu original Behind the Mask, and I watched this guy do a backflip off a 25-foot ladder and dunk it at the Bradley Center back in 2010. It, you know, earned him Mascot of the Year. I was just amazed at how much of a gymnast this individual is in the big Bango the Deer suit.
He is absolutely phenomenal, and a lot of Bucks fans have lobbied to have him actually get on the roster and play in some of those lean years, because he certainly would have done better than what we had at the time. He is a good one, though. Bango the Buck. Yep. Okay. That's a dog. It's not a buck.
Is that a deer barking?
You're on probation. This is not going to be good. I'm really leery for the next segment coming up here, friends. And Jeff, before we let you go, you're a Cleveland guy, but you live in Arizona. What do the Suns do? You know, when they had Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire, they were kind of in the thick of it. That whole thing went away. Then you had the Shaq Grant Hill years. That really didn't pan out so well. Phoenix just seems to have fallen off the map. They made kind of a run last year, but then things didn't go so well towards the end. Are they going to be in the mix at all?
They need to add personnel. I think the Tyson Chandler helps. You know, I know that they really had their heart set on landing LaMarcus Aldridge. And, you know, the Suns continue to be bridesmaids when everybody else is a bride. It's a shame, but I think that they have a good core. I think that they have a good nucleus with Ryan McDonough, who came over from the Celtics to the front office. Jeff Hornacek, I think that he had a little too much success in his rookie year. I won't call what happened in the 2014-15 season a sophomore slump, but more coming back to earth for Jeff Hornacek. I think that he's capable of leading this team, but you know, you got to do it. You got to have better players yep. than Markieff Morris. I think Eric Bledsoe being healthy, you know, they're going to see what they have in Brandon Knight, and they're going to really try to operate in the front court. I think it's a big year for Alex Len. You know, finally healthy. Finally capable of proving everything that he's worthy of being drafted out of Maryland. I think that, you know, if the Suns are going to compete in the West, they have to be strong in their front court.
All right.
So since you mentioned Grant Hill a moment ago, there's a really interesting piece running on ESPN's website where a reporter was following Phil Jackson and chronicled a lot of the moves and just someone who actually used to work with Phil Jackson. And he made a comment that was near and dear to my heart, where he said that except for Grant Hill, former players from Duke never seemed to pan out in the NBA. So that was kind of an interesting piece to hear it from somebody other than, you know, the Tar Heel faithful who was ripping the big evil empire.
Steve Elton. Is a North Carolina guy, just for everybody's...
Elton Brand, Kyrie Irving, Shane Battier. It's not a long list. You know, you get into the Plumlees and the Cherokee Parks and the Christian Laettners. Yeah, you have a good argument. But, you know, Krzyzewski's going after the one-and-done guys now, so I think that's going to change a lot. You know, I think we're going to see it with Jabari Parker. You know, we're going to see it with Okafor. I think that these guys are going to pan out. You know, kudos to Phil for taking Porzingis and not not chasing the Dukie big man. But at the end of the day, I don't think it matters where you went to school. I don't think it matters at all where you went to school unless you stay for
right. But notice all those guys that you talked about, like Brand and Irving, did not go the full 4 years and get the full Krzyzewski immersion treatment.
Maybe you have a point. Or maybe you're just a big North Carolina homer. I think that's it.
Well, Jeff, thanks very much. Good luck on the Sports Byline show this weekend. Check them out, sportsbyline.com, 11-1 Eastern time. And we will talk to you next week, Jeff, all right?
All right, I got to whack up some coffee. Have a good week.
Okay, talk to you then. We're back with John Poulter out of Toronto. We'll talk a bit about baseball and the Pan Am Games. I'm Packer Dave. He's Steve Leventhal. It's the Weekend Sports Report.
If you have a rodent problem in your home, any remedy is temporary until you prevent them from entering. For a permanent solution, buy Excluder. Rodent and pest barriers, made of a patented blend of coarse stainless steel and polyfibers, Excluder permanently seals holes and crevices where rodents enter. No chemicals or pesticides, and Excluder door sweeps stop entry under your doors. See it all online at buyxcluder.com. That's buyxcluder.com. Buyxcluder.com.
If for some reason you find yourself without air conditioning, you can still find some cool relief with a simple fan. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll tell you how to add a chill to the air at only pennies on the dollar right after this. What's the first step of any building or repair project? I always make sure I have the tools and materials I need, starting with the QuickCrete mobile app. With easy one-touch access, you can watch project video instructions, quickly pull up a material shopping list, and make sure you have what you need, or use the app to figure out how much you need and find out where to buy it. You can even share your finished project via the Quick Share function. It's the tool you can use from start to finish. Download the QuickCrete mobile app on the App Store or Google Play today. Whether your AC is on the blink or perhaps you just don't have central air in your home, I've got a simple idea that gives you that cool blast without costing a lot of cold cash. A simple box fan or an oscillating fan that can be set to stay in one position is the first thing you'll need. Next, find a large bowl and fill it with ice. Place this bowl in front of the blowing fan and you've got yourself a homemade air conditioner. As the warm air blows over the ice, it cools it down considerably and you get the benefit. But of course, if you use this over several hours, be prepared to add a little more ice as needed. While this won't work to cool down an entire room or an entire house, it's perfect for individual comfort or small spaces. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
Painting just got easier with Handy Paint products. Hey, kick the bucket, paint like a professional with fewer spills and faster cleanups with the Handy Paint Pail and Paint Cup. Easy come, easy roll, the Handy Paint Tray, Roller Cup, and Roller Pail are perfect for all projects big and small. And if you're climbing the ladder, use the multi-use Handy Ladder Pail for all your projects, the safe way to transport paint and tools on a ladder. Painting just got easier with Handy Paint Pail products.
It's time to work on your interviews.
My interviews? What do I gotta do?
You're gonna have to learn your cliches. You're gonna have to study them. You're gonna have to know them. They're your friends. We gotta play them one day at a time.
It's pretty boring.
Of course it's boring. That's the point. Write it down. I'm just happy to be here. Hope I can help the ball club. I just want to give it my best shot. And the good Lord willing, things will work out.
That's what we do on this show. Good Lord willing, maybe things will work out. That's what we hope for. Usually it doesn't happen, though. I'm Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal. It is the Weekend Sports Report. And of course, on this show, we like to concentrate on the Great Lakes region. So we're talking Chicago, Wisconsin, you know, Michigan, and of course, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. A lot of people didn't know or don't know that Toronto is right on Lake Ontario, and is the fifth largest metro area in all North
Great
America.
Lakes,
can you hold on?
Mendota, Winnebago, all those lakes around Madison.
Are you done, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So John is in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and that is the location of the Pan Am Games. So let's go to John Poulter, our professor of sports. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks, Dave. How are you? And hello to you, Steve.
Well, obviously, I'm not well. I've already been ripped over the coals once.
Yeah, this doesn't take long into a segment. Steve, just wait till people are done. Now, we've gone over this again and again. Just wait till they're done. There'll be a break soon. Relax.
Not with you talking.
All right, John. So, the Pan Am Games. Now, as an American from Wisconsin, because Wisconsin's in America, I never paid any attention to the Pan Am Games. I'm listening on the radio up here in Niagara Falls, Ontario, and it is a big deal. I mean, and there are hundreds and hundreds of medals. I think they've given out like 7,000 to 8,000 medals already. Isn't that true, John?
I'm not sure of the exact number, but you're in the ballpark, that's for sure. It's not a big event here. I think it's an event that's probably gathered a little momentum as it's gone on. You know, when we first got the games, everybody kept saying, "Oh, you know, Pan Am Games. What are they? They'll be really interesting. Let's move on," kind of deal. And, you know, quite frankly, I think up until the medals started rolling in, I think everybody sort of had a bit of a second-rate opinion of it. But this is a chance for Canada to shine. We get to send our best athletes to these games the same as we do to the Olympics. And A, the audience is smaller in terms of the competition, so there's a better chance of winning medals. And you also get some of the nations that don't send their best athletes here because there's track and field world championships, swimming world championships, etc. So some of the other countries are sending less than their best, which helps Canada in terms of their medal count. So from that standpoint, it's been a success. Perhaps the medal count is a little inflated because of that. Classic example is that Steve's favorite, Usain Bolt from Jamaica, did not come to participate in the 100 meters. And as a result, the 100 meters was won by somebody that probably isn't the same caliber as Bolt. But hey, if you don't enter, you can't win. It's like a lottery ticket. If you don't buy a ticket, you're not going to win.
That's right. Okay, Steve, he mentioned you. Now go.
Well, I was going to say, do they have the beer drinking contest? Because that would have been Dave's all-time three-time world champ.
Oh, and speaking of that, by the way, everybody, the Niagara Trophy husbands tonight, Niagara Falls, the Regency. Come see us if you happen to be in the Niagara Falls, Ontario area.
Guys all wearing your little your little tuxedo with the blue with the frillies on it, like in the Blues Brothers that Mr. Wonderful had to wear.
It's not like that, and my guess is there'll be a bit of beer drinking going on at that particular event. But okay, John, so now Canada has won a lot of medals, so has the United States, and you are there attending this, checking out the baseball. So let's talk about the baseball in particular in the Pan Am Games, and U.S. and Canada actually met up, didn't they?
Yeah, they had a couple of really good games. They played in the last game of the preliminary round, the U.S. winning that game, handing Canada its only loss, and then they met up again in the gold medal game, which went to extra innings. And I don't know if you saw that game or not. They have a pretty interesting way of solving ties in extra innings in those games. They start with runners on first and second base and nobody out. So the chances of getting a run in the first extra inning are a lot higher than getting it in a getting that run in a conventional baseball game. And the manager can start the order anywhere he wants. So pick an example and say that the last out of the ninth inning was the number seven hitter. You don't have to start the extra inning with your number eight hitter at the plate. You can pick any hitter you want in your lineup to be the first hitter. The only clause that goes in there is that if you start off, let's say, with your number two hitter, that means that your number nine hitter has to start the game, has to start the extra inning at second base, and the number one hitter has to start at first base. So you kind of see the wheels turning a little bit more with the managers. And interestingly, in the men's game, both the U.S. and Canadian managers did the same thing. They started off with their number nine hitter at the plate and their number seven and eight hitters on base. They played the bunt, and then you've got your first, second, and third hitters, your bat handlers and your power guys there to try and drive in the runs. So it's an interesting strategy. It's a little bit gimmicky, but it does make sure that the games are over a little early. We don't have any of this 18-inning situation like we had one night this week with the Mets and the Cardinals in the major leagues.
Gee, that's sort of like lining up the ball at the 25-yard line in college football and saying, go.
Yeah, it's a little bit gimmicky from that standpoint, Steve. But, you know, I guess they do have some time restraints that they have to work around, and they can't afford to be having an 18-inning game in the game that starts at noon because there's another game has to be played at 4 o'clock. So you have to recognize there are some time constraints. And, you know, for the most part, these are, quote, second-tier players. To be eligible to play on a baseball roster in the Pan Am Games, at least on the men's side, the players selected cannot be on any major league team's 40-man roster. So that sort of eliminates the major league rosters and the top 15 prospects of all of the major league teams. So we're not seeing top players at this tournament, but we are seeing some good players and a few former major leaguers playing on the various teams.
So who won the extra inning game?
Canada won the extra inning game. They beat the U.S., who took the silver, and Cuba took the bronze. in the men's tournament, and that was the first week of the games. They're now in the second week of the games, and the women's tournament is still in progress as we speak.
All right, John Poulter with us. He is from Toronto, and he is our professor of sports here in the Weekend Sports Report. Talk a lot about a lot of different things with John. He knows his baseball, though, and when we talk to him, we look at the Toronto Blue Jays and the American League East. And so let's talk about the East right now. The Yankees are hot as of this recording, and Toronto coming in right at around 500. So your thoughts on the East, John?
Well, it's been a tight race right from the word go. It's likely to stretch out a little bit now. Yankees are playing really well. As we talk today, they've won 8 out of their last 10. They're starting to stretch it out a little bit. At the other end of the division, the Red Sox, after showing a little bit of life about a month ago, seem to have gone back into the doldrums and are not playing overly well. But the other three teams, Tampa Bay, Baltimore, and the Blue Jays, are all playing consistent baseball. They're all playing well, and I can see that being a dogfight right down to the end. But unfortunately, what's going to hurt those three teams is that if the Yankees win the division, obviously those three teams are looking at a wild card opportunity if they're going to make the postseason, and they may spend most of the rest of the season beating up on each other, and that may allow a stronger team in the West and the Central to move into that potential wild card spot.
Steve?
How come we never talk about the...
If you're going to do this, when he's done talking, get in there. Don't give us these crazy...
Well, the thing that I wanted to mention was the boat has already shipped. It was a question about the baseball, but it's irrelevant now that we've moved into Major League Baseball.
Well, I'm going to have to... John, I'm going to have to rethink Steve's role on the show.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to.
That's your call. You're the named quote unquote star on the headlines. Steve and I are the wheels on the tricycle here.
We're going to have a company meeting this week, and we're going to listen to the recordings. Okay, and we're going to critique everybody here. And Steve is target number one. He's got to get it together. If you raise your hand and you want to be on the show, then when it's your opportunity to speak, talk.
Well, it would be helpful if the host picked up on the cues as in real time.
Okay. Right. Let's stop boring the audience with this stuff.
Don't we talk about the Central? The AL Central.
AL Central. Well, you got the... we talk about that with Jeff Rich all the time, Steve. But okay, John, now that Steve brought it up, your thoughts also on the AL Central. We spoke about it earlier.
Well, the AL Central, to me, is Kansas City's division and a bunch of other guys just chasing them. Royals right now have the best record in the American League, although I think the Angels, the way that they've been playing in the last 3-4 weeks, are going to give them a bit of a run for their money. Kansas City up by 6.5 over the surprising Twins as we speak. I think probably the biggest thing that shocked me in that Central division is the way the Tigers have fallen from grace. You look at some of the names on that roster, and you kind of have to think that they're a better ball club than 47 and 48 as of the close of games on Thursday night. Tigers are struggling. Don't really know why. They've had a few injuries. Yes, they miss Max Scherzer. But, you know, they've got a guy like David Price, who to me is one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. And you got to build around a guy like that. But it looks to me as though they're going to have to let him go, because I don't think they're interested in signing him for the type of money that he's looking for. And he's out of contract at the end of the year. So my guess is that the Tigers are probably going to sit and wait maybe another week, maybe a little bit less, to see where they are in this race before they decide whether it's time to back up the truck and move guys like that. It's unfortunate because, you know, it's a good team. Cleveland is kind of hanging in there. The White Sox, perhaps the hugest disappointment. If we'd have had a conversation about that in the wintertime, we would have said that the White Sox won the winter in terms of their pickups. So there they are in last place. But Kansas City's division to win, in my point.
Do you think that this could cost Robin Ventura his job?
That's an interesting question, and you are probably in a better position to answer that because you live in Chicago and you see the team daily, and I don't. I think Ventura is probably safe, but only from the standpoint that he's a bit of an icon in Chicago. I think if it was somebody other than a famous White Sox player, I don't think the loyalty factor would wear in. I think he gets another chance, but I think he's on very thin ice, that's for sure, especially with the success that the Cubs have had this year that sort of pushed the White Sox to the back pages.
And it's rather interesting. The White Sox not too long ago had a celebration, you know, the anniversary of the 2005 World Series champions, and I think they drew about 17,000 people.
Yeah, that is a bit surprising. You would think that the nostalgia alone would draw more than that. I don't know whether that's a sign of the times in Chicago, whether it's a sign of the times in baseball, or whether it's just the lack of interest in White Sox baseball on the south side of Chicago. Again, you're closer to the action than I am. What's the feeling in Chicago about the White Sox?
Well, it always seems to be when that team doesn't do well, they cannot draw. In spite of the fact that the ballpark is nice, the parking is pretty accessible. It's certainly more convenient than the north side. You can take public transit to both stadiums. And yet, and even though they've also done a lot to make the neighborhood more appealing there, it's just for whatever reason, that team can only draw when, you know, the Red Sox and the Yankees are in town or if they're in the thick of a pennant chase.
Well, I guess part of that, too, is that there's always been that mystique about Wrigley Field, and it's one of the last, I guess it's the second oldest ballpark in the major leagues now, with Fenway Park being the oldest by 2 years. I suspect there's a lot of mystique about the Cubs and their lack of winning anything seriously for over 100 years. I suspect that's part of it. And, in some respects, I think a lot of people enjoyed going to the north side to baseball more than to the south side. But as you say, south side has improved a tremendous amount over recent years. So they're certainly making the effort. But the Cubs are kind of one of those teams that they don't have to do all that well to draw fans. We go through that in Toronto with the Maple Leafs in the National Hockey League all the time. They're a terrible team, but they always seem to sell out all the seats.
Well, Toronto made a lot of moves in the offseason, though, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, Dave, the guys that they're picking up, they're great minds, but they're not going to be wearing blue and white sweaters with their names on the back. They're going to be wearing $1,000 suits standing behind a bench and sitting in a press box watching the games. Got to start somewhere, and I think in this day and age, you have to draft well, you have to develop well, and there's no cap on what you can pay your executives. So if you think you can hire the best and pay them and the results are there, it's the right move. If the results are not there, it's another silly move.
All right, John Poulter, the professor of sports, part of the Great Lakes reporting stable of reporters that we have. Cleveland, Toronto, Chicago. I'm a Wisconsin guy. You know, we got the Great Lakes covered right here. And, John, I think Steve picked up his performance the last 5 minutes of the segment. And in our meeting this week, we'll take that into consideration. I don't know what you thought about that, but I thought he did pretty well down the stretch.
Hey, I'm just a guest here. I'm not the guy that push. I'm not the guy that pushes the switches, and I'm not the guy that, that calls the shots. So I got to do what I'm asked to do.
All right, and you do it well. We'll talk to you next week, John. All right.
You bet. My pleasure. Look forward to it. Take care, guys.
All right, John Poulter, and we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Weekend Sports Report. Remember, you can get us at internetfm.com. That's the website, internetfm.com. You can also get us at PackerDaveShow.com. That's the easiest way, because you go to PackerDaveShow.com, there's one button to click, boom, you're right there. Steve, you got to scroll way down his site. It's hard. And we're also on TuneIn.com. Just put in Weekend Sports Report. It'll pop up where you can hear us in your particular area. Steve, any final words?
Yeah, am I still on double secret probation?
Well, we're going to check it out this week. We'll see. You helped yourself down the stretch, though. I mean, that was like going up to bat three times, striking out, and then maybe, a single and a double at the end. So you're still in the lineup. So, for Steve Leventhal, for John Poulter, for Jeff Rich, I'm Packer Dave saying thanks very much for listening. Talk to you next week. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Get the bears, scumbag.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. You ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense. But the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
As the summertime increases in showers, sent your water bill through the roof? I'm Danny Lipker with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about how to enjoy those showers without breaking the bank right after this.
Beautify your outdoor living spaces with Pavestone's elegant collection of pavers, retaining walls, patio stones, and edging. Pavestone's easy do-it-yourself products have a unique way of transforming landscapes into beautiful dreamscapes. Discover how you can enhance your outdoor living spaces with attractive and durable interlocking patio stones, driveway pavers, steps, retaining walls, pathway edging, fire pits, and planters by visiting pavestone.com.
In the United States, showers account for 22% of each individual water use, so saving here is important. The solution, low-flow shower heads. In recent years, these things have greatly improved in their performance, so there's no excuse for not using them. In fact, some of them are so good, you may not even know if you have one. So before you start spending money, do the simple test. Put a 2-quart saucepan on the floor of the shower in the center of the shower stream. Then turn the shower on at full force and count how many seconds it takes to fill the pan. If it's less than 12, you need a low-flow shower head. If 12 or more, you're in great shape. The new models cost anywhere from $8 to $50, depending on the style, features, and manufacturer. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense. But the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.